Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. It's Ken Kratzer talking business on Blog Talk Radio. We're broadcasting today from the headquarters of CBSI Services in Harrison, New York. CBSI, founded in 1972, provides a full range of special benefit services to the consumer financial services field. Every day, CBSI programs provide warranty extension and premium services to customers of major credit card, debit, and checking account programs. Today, we're very pleased to talk with Rebecca Johnson, who's the CEO of Washington, D.C.-based Numerical.com, and also a chair of a very important trade committee, the Communications Protection Coalition. Rebecca, good to talk with you today. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate it. Rebecca, you were have been in the contact center field for a career, and you were asked by PACE, the Professional Association of Customer Engagement, to work with the trade on a project that results. It's an unintended consequence of some of the things that regulators have been doing to stop call blocking of fraudulent calls, that have really been plaguing consumers. Tell us a little bit about how this this committee project started up.
Yes, it happened. So my background, as you said, is from the call center space, so building call solution strategies from education, utility, financial, commercial industries, and the use of this technology is evident and how much it's ingrained into just how we operate businesses on a day-to-day basis. And while working in that space, I participated in the FCC's robocall strike force, in which the carriers, as led by AT&T, came together to identify a path forward to stop the fraudulent actors. The fraudulent actors typically come from outside of the United States, so one of the best ways to fight the bad guys is for the good guys to come together collectively. While on that group, that's when it became evident to me that there might be some unintended consequences with their actions around blocking the fraudulent calls, and also giving visibility to consumers of the intent of the caller. It could be fraud or a scam, and they want to educate the consumer during the ring of the call so that they can make the best decision. Unfortunately, what's happened is that call originators from financial, commercial, education, utility, healthcare, they're getting caught up in this algorithm that's running to determine what to do with the call. And that's why we created the Communication Protection Coalition, in order to protect the use, the legal and wanted use of the voice channel, so that we can correct some of these problems. And it takes an industry effort to even do that.
Well, you've been working very hard on this, and there have been some technology aspects of this. There have been some procedural. Tell us a little bit about the steps the coalition's been able to take since it was formed.
Yeah, one of the first ones was to get the dynamic group of characters together. So it required the FCC, FTC, the major carriers, the new players being their analytics engine partners, the one who makes the decisions on blocking and labeling, and then the call originators. So we met. We're coming up on a one-year anniversary here in D.C. Last year we had our first meeting, and that one was to really acknowledge and bring to the forefront that we do, in fact, have an issue that needs to be addressed. And PACE was putting out the invitation to, will you work with us through the Communication Protection Coalition to hear the voice of the call originator and to create some procedures and processes so that the call originator can get their numbers passed through. Since then, we've had three meetings, our most recent one, and they're all held here in D.C. The most recent has been just a progression of the next steps. I will say a positive to the carriers who've been involved. They've absolutely taken the recommendations and suggestions from the CPC meeting and put it into action within their organizations. We still have a lot more to go. So this last meeting was a good kind of overview of where we've gotten to this point on allowing call originators to register their numbers indicate to the carriers who they are and why they're calling. But we still have some challenges even around that process. It's still cumbersome for the call originators just to get their call through.
Yes, maybe we're talking with Rebecca Johnson, CEO at Numericall.com, chair of the Communications Protection Coalition. And Rebecca, maybe you could identify some of the types of companies that have been affected by having their calls blocked as far as being legitimate calls to customers from established providers, and the size of the issue, the scale that's affected.
I actually have two personal examples, and it's one that I've used with this group, and they have to do with my bank. Two separate ones, one's a bank and one's a credit card. So on the first example of a bank, during the end of the year, this past year, I was making wire transfer payments as far as closing out my business operations for the end of the year payments, and part of that process requires me to fill out a form online, enter in all the wire transfer information, and then I receive a call back from the bank's agent who is going to confirm the numbers. They record that process. They verbally say them to me, and then I confirm, yes, those are the correct numbers. The calls, when I received the call back, would show up as fraud. And now I'm the type that will answer those calls, but a regular consumer would not answer that call. And the only way for that wire transfer to occur was that confirmation process. And so when I answered the call, I informed the agent that, were you aware that your call showed up as fraud to me? And, of course, they were not aware. So that is actually consumer harm. At that point, that's disruptive. And for this particular bank, they didn't even realize that their process that they have in place today is being affected like this. My second one,
Go ahead. I was just going to say, on my cell phone, I'm all of a sudden getting these messages saying that a call could be a possible fraud. If I want to block that one or not. But go ahead and tell us your second example.
Yeah, so the second one had to do with fraud calls. So I was traveling abroad this summer, and so I informed my bank of my travels. And for whatever reason, I guess maybe I was going to too many different countries, but while I was in Canada, I was hiking up a mountain at the time, and my phone rings, and I pull out my phone, and it says scam. So I thought, no, I'm on vacation in a beautiful mountain. I'm not taking this phone call. And when I come down from the mountain, I stop at a convenience store in which I was getting some snacks, and I go to run my card, and it says declined. And I thought, well, okay, let me call the bank. And I called the bank, and they said, well, we tried to call you because there was some fraudulent activity. For whatever reason, my notice to them that I was going to be in Canada didn't get. So when they saw my previous transactions, it kicked off their fraud process. And because I did not answer the call and tell them, yes, I'm in Canada, yes, I approved those transactions, they canceled my card. Now, the problem with that process is that they will only deliver the cards to your home address. And so now here I am in another country. I'm not returning for another 2 weeks, and I couldn't use my card of choice. So, again, if we get this wrong, if the carriers do not provide an avenue for even just starting with banks to be able to register their numbers, say, this is who we are, these are the numbers we deliver calls on, do not label it a fraud or a scam, then consumers are going to continue to be harmed by that process.
And we have an event coming up with PACE, Professional Association for Customer Engagement, in Washington. That'll be the PACE Washington Summit, September 23rd to the 25th. And I have a feeling you're going to be giving a talk on where the project is and what the next steps are. What would be some of the things that the PACE audience will learn about your project at the meeting coming up in September?
Yes, we're going to have another meeting that'll be attended by the carriers, the FCC, and the FTC for the continuation of next steps, really on the identity side of informing the carriers of who you are and what your numbers are. We're getting closer to solidifying that process. and trying to make it as simple and seamless and a one-time for the call originators. We also continue to merge a little bit over into what the carriers are doing as a whole with regards to the technologies used to deliver calls. PACE is very involved with that and just ensuring that the call originator's voice is heard along that path and we don't experience another wave of unintended consequences to this channel.
Very good. And talk with Rebecca Johnson, CEO of Numericall.com. Maybe, Rebecca, you could give us a little summary about the services that your company provides.
Yeah, so what we have at Numericall is ultimately our solutions give our clients ability and control in this new ecosystem. As it stands today, your call center solutions and technologies do not integrate and communicate with the analytics engines, and that's where Numericall comes in to be able to take your list of numbers. Number one, we register your numbers across the carriers and the analytics engines that are performing this labeling and blocking. Just to note, the top carriers are implementing these controls. This will be deployed across all carriers at some point, looking up to 1,500 of them. And it also includes app solution providers for Apples and Androids, and that's over 500 players in that space. So Numericall is targeted on ensuring that you have one place to go in order to register those numbers. The next thing that we would do is assess how you're being labeled and presented to your consumers so that you can take back control over what that looks like to ensure you're not being shown as fraud, not being shown as scam, and that the proper name and label is being presented to consumers. And then a nice feature of what we have on an ongoing basis is that we also integrate with what consumers are saying about your calls, complaints. We pull complaint data from the FTC and also the various app providers who are collecting complaints from consumers. And that's very insightful as well to understand how you're communicating with your consumers and what they may or may not like about the use of that particular channel to ensure that your contact rates go up and do not diminish. And that's just the shift in the industry as a whole on where you have to look in order to determine what are the best strategies for communicating with your customers.
Okay, Rebecca, we really appreciate hearing from you, your explanation on what's happening with the PACE, Professional Association of Customer Engagement, sponsored Communications Protection Coalition. I will look forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C. at the PACE Summit in September. It should be a great meeting. Thank you, Rebecca Johnson, CEO of Numericall.com. And we're broadcasting today from the headquarters of CBSI Services in Harrison, New York. CBSI, founded in 1972, provides a full range of special benefit services to the consumer financial services field. Every day, CBSI programs provide warranty extension and premium services to customers of major credit card, debit, and checking account services. More information on our website, www.cbsiservices.com. And thank you. Until next time, this is Ken Kreitzer, talking business for CBSI Services.